Chinese New Year fell on Tuesday, 5th February, so we are now about the 5th or 6th day into the New Year, which for us, we know, lasts 15 days. So I take the opportunity to wish all of you a belated, blessed, and prosperous Chinese New Year to all of you who are seated here this morning. Now, you know, of course, that my topic for this morning is the year of the pig. Some of you who are new, especially for the first time listening to me, will be wondering, what is this man talking about, the year of the pig? And if you are a pig, you're born in the year of the pig, then you will be more suspicious of what I'm going to say. Well, let me tell you the history of how it all started. In 1983, I was put down to speak on Chinese New Year. 1983, that was quite a number of years ago. Some of you were even not born yet. I was put down to speak at Balmoral Gospel Hall, and I was wondering what topic I should deal with. It was Chinese New Year season, and I thought, therefore, that I should speak on the pig. But what could I speak about the pig? Oh, yes. I thought I would do a Bible study of the pig as it occurs in the Bible. And that's how it started in 1983. That will be about 4 cycles away. Today is the year of the pig. And I started with the year of the pig. Today is 2019. I'm sorry, I had forgotten the years that passed by so quickly. So today will be the first of the 4th cycle of this year of the pig. Right, 1987, I spoke on the rabbit. That was because I was not put down to speak in the succeeding years after 83. Then 1990, I spoke on the hare and on the horse. And I found so much material in the Bible about the horse, I had to hold 3 sessions. And today, I'm not sure whether I can finish what I'm going to say about the pig, because there's so much about the pig in the Bible too. So from that time onwards, 1991, I spoke on the ram, 1992, the monkey, 1993, the cock, and 1994, the dog. And by 1995, it came back to the pig. That would more or less complete the cycle of 12 years. But of course, with a few years missing, when I was not speaking on those animals in particular. Then something else happened. In the year 2010, I learned up PowerPoint. And I thought I would try to illustrate all my studies on the animals of the Chinese New Year with PowerPoint. So 2010, I started on PowerPoint. And today, we find that it is up to the pig. I have got 2 more years to cover for the rat and the oxen. Hopefully, the Lord will spare me 2 more years. Then I would have completed the whole series on PowerPoint. Before that, I was speaking using only notes, photostated notes given out, and, well, what I was speaking through the mic. But today, I have got the PowerPoint, the notes, as well as what you hear me speaking today at this moment. So I hope the Lord will spare me 2 more years, and that will be very significant because that will be the year of the cow. And I'm a cow. I'm not afraid to say that. I'm a cow, and you can work out how old I am from there. So hopefully I will be spared, and I'll go on to the year of the cow, 2 more years, and with that, definitely I will finish. But with the notes, I would have finished a few years ago. Now, the year of the pig. I have not had much time, so I need to hurry through a bit. And especially this part, when the year of the pig has to, as it is found from outside sources. The year of the pig is one of the 12 animals based on the Chinese zodiac of 12 animals given to a cycle of 12 years. And the first would begin with the rat. Where's the rat? All right. Then go on to the ox, and then what's the third animal? I can't see very well.
The tiger.
And so on. Or, as what the Chinese would say, to easily believe in this order of the animals, it chu, ji gu, sa ho, si to, and so on, right up to the 12 animals. All right, the last one, of course, would be the pig. Now, the West also has its own symbols of associated with the zodiac. For example, you have the astrological signs of Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. Now, I'm not going to speak on the Western zodiac, but I shall certainly be touching on the Chinese zodiac of these 12 animals. Now, in the first place, one wonder how these animals came into the very order of Ichu, Jigu, Saho, Asato, and so on. That's because there was a legend that was told of the cunning rat and the lazy pig. These 12 animals came to the gods and asked the gods that they should be placed first in the order. And as the gods discussed what to do and how to place them in order, the gods said, all right, look, in front is a river. The first to swim across the river and reach the other bank will be the first, and so on in the order. And so they all agreed. And so the ox, being a very strong animal, was able to swim very fast, and it was first. And as it reached the other bank, it was about to jump to the other bank to claim first place when, pop, the rat, to the ignorance of the ox, it doesn't know that it, the rat, has been sitting on the back of the ox. So as the ox swims with all its strength, the rat is resting there very happily. And when it reaches the finishing point, it jumps onto the bank and it becomes the first. And that's how it became. The rat was the first. And of course, you expect the pig, lazy as ever, the last. Sorry, I'm not talking of a pig person. I'm talking of the pig itself, okay? So that's how we have the cunning rat and the lazy pig. Now, before I start this series of studies on the year of the pig, let me clarify a few points first. Firstly, this study is never intended to encourage anyone to consult the zodiac or astrology or horoscopes. This is not right. The Bible condemns it. The Bible says, no one among you is to make his son or daughter pass through the fire. Practice divination, tell fortunes, interpret omens, practice sorcery, cast spells, consult a medium or a familiar spirit, or inquire of the dead. Everyone who does these things is detestable or is an abomination to the Lord. And the Lord your God is driving out the nations before you because of these detestable or abominable things. So please do not be involved in the everyday forecast of what the stars foretell, with feng shui, with astrology. These are things not encouraged by the word of God. And we need to be aware and beware of these things. So, in my study of the year of the animals in the Chinese calendar, it's not well reference to these astrological and prophecies or predictions, but it is actually a study of the Bible in the word concern. For example, the year of the pig. What is this study of the pig? It is just a word study of what, how and where the word occurs in the Bible. Now, what I do is I just take the word pig or swine. Take a look at the concordance. See where all these occurrences are. And then put them together and get a message. And make it into a study. I'll tell you about the results of that study later on. Another clarification which I need to put forth is, when I use the word swine or pig, I say, you are a swine or you are a pig, I'm not referring to a human being, please. No. I'm referring to the characteristic of that animal. I'm referring to the animal that has characteristic and which is marked out and taken up in the scriptures. But I'm not referring to any person born in that year. All right? So I want to make clear. Incidentally, I was hold up one year about this reference to the animals. Because everything that I said about these animals seemed to be bad. So the person born in the year of the pig or of any other animal would be bad. I didn't say that. The Bible attributes all the bad characteristics of such animals, and all the 12 animals in the zodiac calendar have bad characteristics referred to in the Bible. And that's all that I have to say because it is a study of the word in the Bible. Thirdly, for our purpose, because the word pig is very sensitive, I may not use the word pig. I may use boar, I may use some other word. But pig and swine are, well, they are words which offend in certain groups and so on, so I'll be more careful. But when the Bible uses that word, I will use that word. Okay? So these are the clarifications I'd like to make, and then with that we start. The connotation of the boar, or swine or pig, as used in the scriptures. Firstly, we discuss this from the outside sources, from the dictionary, and see what it means, its origin. Swine, as we find the dictionary, it is defined as, or is referred to as obsolete in most uses, though retained in a few technical terms. Today, we don't use the word swine. It's very insulting. But the word swine is still retained in some technical terms as swine fever, swine herd, swine pox, and so on. Normally, it is replaced by other words like pig, which is also obsolete now. Male is referred to as a boar, female as a sow, and a litter of piglets is called a farrow. A wild boar, contrary to what we often think, is not wild. A wild boar is the domestic pig that we see in the house or in the farm. Whereas a wild boar that we associate with an animal staying in the wild is a hawk. So this is what is defined in the Webster Universal Dictionary. Now, let's go on further. The singular of swine is swine. And the plural of swine is swine. It's not swines. That's deer, and singular and plural is the same word. Literally, it is a hoofed animal, omnivorous mammal. In other words, it eats anything and everything. Figuratively, it is a dirty animal. It symbolizes filth and ugliness. It makes home among the filth and the rubbish that is around. And that's why sometimes we refer to a person figuratively as you lazy pig, you dirty pig, you filthy pig. You say this, you better run away as fast as possible, because the person referred to will not be happy. All right? As greedy as a pig, as fat as a pig, and so on. Well, those words associated with a pig do not seem to be good. And likewise, as we shall find later on, the attributes of a pig referred to in the Bible are also no good. The plural, as I pointed out, is swine. Pigs, of course, a group of them will be called a herd of swine. All right, with that, from the outside source, we now come on to the study of the pig from the scriptures. What I do now is, very frankly, to take a concordance, look at the word pig or look at the word swine and find its occurrences. And it's very easy. In the Old Testament, the word swine or pig is found only in 6 references. One is found in a Proverbs in Proverbs 11:22, which reads like a gold ring in the pig's snout of a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. A beautiful woman who has no discretion behaves like a pig with a gold jewel or a gold ring in its snout. It is not beautiful. Or to put in modern sense, a beautiful woman who rejects good sense is like a gold ring in a pig's snout. First occurrence, and then there are other occurrences of the word pig in the Old Testament. Most of them refer to the same thing. It refers to an unclean animal. And there are 5 references there, together with the one that has to do with the proverb, there will be 6. So there are 6 references in the Old Testament of the word swine or pig. It is unclean. Then the New Testament use of it is found as koiros only in 3 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In Matthew, it says, do not cast pearls before swine. In the other 3 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we are told that demons that were cast out of a person all went into a herd of swine. Thirdly, we find that the prodigal son was eating the food of the swine that he was taking care of. And so we find there are 6 occurrences of the word swine in the Old Testament. Now, there's also one word, has, which means a sow, female pig, found only in 2 Peter 2:22. So, 6 occurrences altogether in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament. And then you have all the word occurring in only the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And then the final word is sound. All right. Now what I do is I take all these references and put them together and see what message I can get from there. Let's begin. First lesson. By comparing the boar with some other animal, a cow. Be a cow, but not a ball. That's the first lesson I want you, all of us here, to learn in this year of the pig. Be a cow and not a ball. Why? References are found in the screen, on the screen I've shown you, but particularly we look at Leviticus chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. Verses 1 and 2, the Lord gives us a list of all clean and unclean animals that the Israelite can eat or cannot eat. And how do you know an animal is clean or unclean? Clean, that means can be used of the Lord, but unclean cannot be used, not only of the Lord, but of his people. You may eat any animal with divided hooves and to choose a cut. Please note, a clean animal is one animal that possesses hooves that is divided. For example, you see on the screen, the picture on the left is not divided. The picture on the right has a hoof that is divided. And then, second condition, the animal must chew the cud. What is meant by chewing the cud? To chew the cud is when you see an animal, a cow especially, after nibbling the grass, will go to a shady tree, sit down, and although it's not nibbling the grass anymore, you find its mouth moving left, right, as if it's chewing something or masticating something. That is ruminating. That is chewing the cud or ruminate. And for animal to be clean, that animal, as with cow, has cloven hooves, divided hooves, and it chews a cud. So it is clean. That's why I say, be a cow, but not a pig. Why? As we shall find later on, or even a camel. A camel has got, chews a cud. A camel chews a cud, but does not have hooves that are divided. A camel has got webbed feet, so that it cannot sink into the sand. Whereas, what is divided of a clean animal is it must not only chew the cud, it must have cloven feet. All right? So, a camel is not. Let's compare the similarities now. Both have cloven feet. A cow and a pig. So what's wrong? Both have cloven feet. Although both have cloven feet, the cloven feet, meaning the division, figures separation. That it is to teach a lesson of separation, that one is separated from the other. And the cloven speak of both animals speak of separation with a difference. The bald separation is like the separation of the Pharisee. The Pharisee likes to live a separated life. Matthew 15, 10, 20. Before he eats bread, he must clean his hands because he wants to make sure that his hands are clean before he eats bread. Before he drinks from a cup, he must wash a cup clean before he puts any drink into the cup for him to drink. He is afraid of that which is outside going into him inside and defiling him. That is the Pharisee. And that is a pig. A pig separation, cloven feet. Whereas, on the other hand, the cow separation is different. The cow also has cloven hooves, but a cow separation is like the separation of a Nazarene who is that who dedicates his whole life unto the Lord so that the Lord will use him, separated unto the Lord. Both are separated from the world. But of the Pharisee, the Lord Jesus Christ says, that which goes inside the mouth does not defile, but that which comes out of the mouth, from the heart, is defiled. For example, evil thoughts, fornication, and many other things that come from the heart. These things are evil and unclean, and these are the things a person must be separated from. On the other hand, a cow has separated life also, but it is separated unto the Lord as a Nazarene would be. His whole life is separated unto the Lord. The dissimilarities. The cow chews a cud and therefore is clean. The boar does not chew the cud and is therefore unclean. Hence, the message to all of us is this. Be a cow Christian. What does it mean when the cow must chew the cud? The cow must chew the cud, it figures a Christian who reads his Bible. Now, how does a Christian chew the cud when he reads the Bible? Every morning, I hope you do, you wake up, you spend some time with the Lord. And you will not have a lot of time to really meditate upon the Lord's word because you have got to go to your work and so on. So you spend about 10, 15 minutes reading a text from the Bible, and you meditate upon it. That is when, like a cow, you graze the grass. You take in the grass, put it inside your mouth. Then, after, I do hope you do this, after meditating upon the text, then you get ready and go to work. On the way to work, you start thinking about the text. You bring back the text, you think about it. That is ruminating. That is when the cow is under the shade of a tree. Then he takes out what he has eaten, up again, and then he starts masticating. Chewing the cud, and then taking out that cud and chewing it again to digest it properly, and then send it back into the stomach for proper digestion. Now, that is ruminating, or chewing the cud. That is why I have set up on my website a rumination, a devotion every week. You know, for example, in a Lord's Supper like this, brethren especially find difficult sometimes to stand up to give a connected and a related reading of a passage from God's Word. In conformity to how the Spirit leads us in our meditation. And so we find that in many cases, we do not have the word, we do not know the word, and what do? We know the songs, and we keep on giving song after song, song after song, song after song. Now, we need to go deeper than this in worship. We need to go to ruminate on the word and prepare ourselves so that when we come, we are ready with the word of the Lord to help and encourage people to worship. And so I have set up this today. The rumination has gone out, is already 732, meaning I have been sending out these ruminations every week for 732 weeks already, week by week, without fail, to help Christians, brethren especially, to meditate upon the word, to prepare for the Lord's Supper, so that when they come here, they can be ready to take part in the Lord's Supper. Now, today's rumination is with regard to the coming Valentine's Day. Love. So my theme is divine love, as in contrast to Valentine love. And it's a discussion of in scripture of what is love. Okay, that's for your information. How can you get it? You can get it by letting me know, and it will be sent to you every week without fail, every Friday or Saturday. Or you can go to my website and look at it as you find the URL there. Or you can even look at Facebook. It's there as well. All right. The born believer. Do not be a born believer. Why? The born believer lives a polluted life. He does not read the word of God, and therefore he does not feel the after effect of the cleansing effect of the word of God in his life. He is like a Pharisee, all right? He may live a separate life, very so-called holy, so-called righteous on the outside, but inside is unclean as ever. His private life is dirty, polluted. Do not be a boar Christian. Be a cow Christian. Second lesson to learn. Be neither a dog nor a sow. 2 Peter 2:22 says, it has happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. It refers to a pig, after having been washed, goes back to the mire to wallow in it. It refers to a dog, after having vomited, it goes away, feeling clean, and then later on it comes back, it sees the vomit, it licks it up again. What a filthy way of doing things. That refers to somebody who, after having known the truth, goes back to his old ways again. The implication is both these animals were once cleaned from the outside and looked clean. But when it comes to the real challenge, they go back. The illustration is of both of a people who have a nature that was never reborn, though reformed. They are reformed on the outside, change over a new leaf, but inside they do not have the spirit's renewal of a new life or being born again. So you will find that these people going back to their old ways. Robertson, a Bible commentator, has this to say of some pigs who were specially cultured to go to a bath with high society people, properly bathed and cleaned. But later on, and when it goes outside, it sees a mire of mud. That's its nature. And it just goes into the mire and wallows in the mud again. This, of course, refers to people who are not reborn, although reformed. And that refers to whom? If you look at the context in 2 Peter 2:1, it refers to the false teachers. So be careful of false teachers. Teachers who teach the word, so-called. And these are the people who teach things for separation on the outside, for show on the outside, but do not know what it is to be a Christian from the inside, born again by the Spirit. Those experiencing an external reformation through an intellectual ascent. And there are many today, and you find more and more Bible commentators in Bible, writing Bible commentary, so-called, who do not even believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who are not even born again. Be careful when you see all these books and all the writings that you get around the market. Those excluded from an internal regeneration by not being born again. They are professors but not possessors of the Lord. Those ending with a final return to their unregenerate beginning. Are we surprised when you hear of people who come and say, once I was a Christian, I was very good Christian and so-called, but today I'm against all Christianity because I find Christianity true. Because in the very first place, they were never born again. They were reformed, but they were never born again. So, thirdly, the decorations of a ball. We read just now of a woman, beautiful woman, who did not have discretion. And the Bible likened her to a ball with a jewel or gold ring around her neck, her nose. Now, many of the sisters are beautiful, charming. But let us not look only on the outside to be charming. Let's be sure that you are inside charming as well. What can mask your beauty? What can mar your beauty? The beauty of a fair woman is enhanced when she is warm in her heart and she has the beauty that's inside and not poking her nose into other people's affairs. That is what is meant by discretion, without discretion. 1 Peter 3:3-4 says, a woman is quiet. What is meant by quiet? 1 Thessalonians 4:11 says, study thyself to be quiet and do not meddle in other people's affairs. So, do not be a gossiper. Do not talk about other people. Don't meddle in other people's affairs. And by this, you will become more beautiful than ever. You are more beautiful by your submission and not by your ostentatious ornamentation with all the jewelries, with all the golden ornaments and exposing yourself unnecessarily. So let us be careful of that. More importantly, when the lady is more modest and sober and not to enhance her beauty by jewelry. So these are the things a lady, a sister, must beware of, that she be not be a pig, a boar with a golden ring round her nose. Now, that's what the Bible says, and not me. Next, pearls under boar's hooves. We read earlier just now that we are not to cast pearls before swine, or give not holy things to the dog. Cast not pearls before swine. What does it mean? As one Bible commentator says, do not give or teach the Bible just as it is, to by rote, so that a person can boast that he knows how to read the Bible, how to memorize the Bible from page to page. Just as we read today, or we know today, in some other circles, religious circles, of children being taught the Holy Book, and they can recite from page to page through the kindergarten years, and then through the young age, teenage years, and then an adult. And yet, when they grow up and mix up with the world, they are cheats, they are corrupt, they are evil. They know the Bible, they know the Holy Book, but the Holy Book has no effect on them. Give not holy things to the dog, nor pearls before swine. Because they do not understand the intrinsic value of the book of the Bible that they have. Both animals cannot appreciate intrinsic value gifts. Both can turn on and intimidate the giver. And we say things like what I've said just now to them, they will be very angry and they can even threaten us. So let us be careful that we not throw pearls before swine or holy things before the dogs. Finally, we have the prodigal son. That's where the word swine occurs again. You remember he went away after having his inheritance to a very righteous life. And as a result, he squandered everything, and in the end, he had got to take care of pigs. And he was so hungry, he had to eat swine food. Now, to eat swine food or pig's food is to, for a Jew, is to go down to the very lowest of degeneration, of a degenerated life. Because the Jews look on pigs as of very filthy, and for you to take part of the food given to pigs, that makes you very, very filthy indeed. So, as he was doing this, he realized that even the worst person, so-called, in his father's house can have better food. The servants in that house have bread to eat, and more than spare, and yet I do not have anything. I must arise, go back to my father's house, and be restored. And this is a lesson to all of us too. If we find that the world has badly treated us, we need to come back. Come back to the Lord and learn and know that even what we say, what we think is not worthy, is better than what is worthy outside. Finally, we have got demons. Demons who possess two men near the lake. And the Lord Jesus Christ came near. And the Lord wanted to cast them out. And the demon said, cast us out among the pigs nearby. And that's what the Lord did. And when they entered the pigs, they all went over the cliff and they were all killed. And yet, what happened? The people who kept the pigs, by right, they should not be keeping the pigs. They were probably Jews. And they were disobeying the word of the Lord. And they went back to tell the city, the people in the city, oh, the Lord Jesus Christ has cast out the demons from these two people, and the demons have gone into our pigs, and the pigs have gone over the cliff. And the people in the city went to where the Lord Jesus was, and what did they tell him? Master, go, leave us, they treasured the swine more than the pigs, more than the Lord Jesus Christ. The swine that they kept were indeed proof that they were down right to the very lowest level of society. Jews were not allowed to keep pigs. All right. My last one, the worshipper's delusion. It's interesting that if you look up Isaiah chapter 65, verses 2 to 5, and chapter 66, verse 3, further, you will read of the occurrence of the word swine again. Now, what was happening? There were this group of Jews gathering together in a secret garden, in a pagan garden. And there, they were doing what the Lord told them to do. They were offering sacrifices to the Lord. They were giving a lot of, they were burning sacrifices to the Lord. They were burning incense unto the Lord. And the Lord said, all these things that you are doing, as if to favor me, I treat them as food, as killing a tiger, killing a snake, eating food given to swine, and so on. Eating swine's blood. Do not be deluded. You are all doing these things with a rebellious heart. You can do all these things in front, but your heart is not with me. I do not accept them. You are under a delusion. For example, Malachi chapter 1 verse 7. That was what happened. The Jews, the people of God, came to the table of the Lord. And when they came to the Lord, table of the Lord complained, you are contemptible. Why? What have we done? You have polluted the table of the Lord. How have we polluted the table of the Lord? You have said the table of the Lord is contemptible. You have brought to the table animals for sacrifice, which are lame, which are blind, which are not perfect, which have blemish, and you sacrifice them to me. Is not that contemptible? The Lord condemned them. It's better that you don't do it. Why? You don't even dare take these same very animals and give to the governor, and yet you dare to sacrifice them to me. It is just like us coming to God's table, and we are not prepared to give our best to the Lord. And therefore, there is no reflection on the Lord for what He had done for us. There is no reverence for Him. The Lord said, you have a good, perfect animal. You keep it. You take an imperfect animal with blemish and you sacrifice to me. Is that how you respect me? Is that how you revere me? So the Lord complained. And all this, the Lord said, is just like eating swine meat before me. All this is hypocrisy. So we need to beware that we are clean, not only outside, but also inside. Conclusion. In this year of the ball, do not be a ball believer, but be a cow Christian. Read God's word. Lead a clean life. Examine yourself to ensure that you are neither a sow nor a dog. Reform, but not reborn. Sisters need to have golden hearts rather than golden rings on swine snouts. Do not cast pearls before swine, but learn to treasure things which are holy and of value. Do not be tempted to eat swine food. Keep swine or offer swine's blood. Now, I'm sure after this, many people will be coming to me and asking me this question. Do not eat swine food. Do not keep swine, offer swine's blood. Mr. Ang, I like roast pork very much, you know. Can I take roast pork? Now, these instructions were given to the Israelites in Leviticus What about the verse now? You remember in Acts chapter 10, Peter was asked, was commissioned to go and speak to Cornelius, a Roman centurion, to bring him to the Lord. And to prepare Peter for that mission, God gave him a vision of a sheet coming down from heaven. And on that sheet, there were all sorts of animals, clean and unclean. And the command to Peter was, Peter, eat, kill and eat. Peter said, these are unclean animals, I will not eat. He was true to himself being a Jew. But the Lord was preparing him for a mission to speak to the Gentiles. The Lord was opening the door to the Gentiles. He had been given the key to the Jews. But now the Lord wants him to open the door to the Gentiles so that they will come to know the Lord. And St. Cornelius was the first Gentile to be spoken to. And therefore, the Lord said, kill and eat. What is unclean? I cannot eat them because they are unclean. The Lord was preparing them, but preparing him. And what did the Lord say? What I have cleansed, call not thou unclean. What I have cleansed, call not thou unclean. In other words, God was preparing Peter to speak to a Gentile, to Cornelius, a Roman centurion. And from that time onwards, the door to Gentiles was open. And then we find the apostles going to speak to the Gentiles. The Gentile is known as the uncircumcision, unclean. The Jew is regarded as the circumcision, the clean. But now all are made one in the Lord. So, can you eat roast pork? When you have roast pork for your dinner, invite me, because I'm very fond of it. This roast pork was the pork, was the item given at Bermerod Gospel Hall last month. They had their assembly annual dinner. Oh, we finished one whole pig. Yes, there is no regulation that you cannot eat pork, that you cannot eat meat. It is halal, not haram, to us who are Christians now. So, a belated and blessed Chinese New Year to all of you again. May it ever be blessed and prosperous. And I use the word prosperous in the sense of knowing the word of the Lord and walking in Him, not in the sense of being wealthy. May you be fruitful, that you will walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, bearing fruit for Him. And I will summarize all these things up in Psalm 1, 1 to 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And everything that he does, whatsoever he doeth, shall prosper. May the Lord bless you all. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word. We thank you for what thou hast to say to us. We do pray that we may have hearts that will learn. Help us, Lord, to be Christian cows, clean and chewing upon thy word, ruminating it and allowing thy word to have an effect in our life. So bless the Lord, we do pray as we, especially the Chinese here, start this new year. Lord, grant that days ahead will be challenging to all to live good and clean lives for the Lord. We ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.